All right, guys. So Miss Netherlands is actually a Mister. Plus, Ben and Jerry's wants to maybe give back stolen land. They haven't quite responded. We're going to talk about that. And Jonah Hill is in hot water over his ex-girlfriend sharing some text messages. Let's talk about it. All right, guys, happy Monday and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Amala Epinobi. We have Taylor in Nashville.
Happy Monday. I gotta give myself the air horn.
Yeah,
Kobe
yeah.
missed it.
Oh, no.
Sorry,
well, Kobe
sorry.
Wouldn't know. Kobe's in the producer's bay.
I know. It's okay.
There Oops. I am.
There Hello. He is. Scott's not here today, so Kobe's filling in for him. We have some very interesting news stories to talk about today. Some may be surprising. Most of them probably not, because after all, we are living in the upside down. We are in clown world. Up is down, right is wrong, black is white. And today we're going to be covering a story out of the Netherlands. Here is the headline from NPR. Miss Netherlands crowns trans woman Ricky Valerie Cole. It says Ricky Valerie Cole has been named Miss Netherlands 2023. Becoming the first transgender woman to take the title, according to multiple outlets. After winning the pageant on Saturday, Cole will advance to represent her Dutch homeland at the Miss Universe pageant, set to take place in El Salvador later this year. The 22-year-old was crowned with a tiara by her predecessor, Ona Moody, on stage at the AFAS Theater in Leusden. And the model says, quote, I did it in an Instagram post. Yes, I'm trans and I want to share my story, but I'm also Ricky and that's what matters to me. And wherever you are in the world, I want to be there for you and be the example that I missed as a little one. And here are some photos from the Instagram post. There is Miss Universe standing next to now Miss Netherlands. And guys, this is not new, right? This is not surprising. This is old news as far as I'm concerned, and we've seen this happen several times now, and specifically within the pageant world. We saw Miss Nevada, I believe in 2021, be crowned and the tiara be placed on the head of a trans woman. The owner of Miss Universe is in fact a Thai trans woman, which we're gonna talk about and showcase a video of that being spoken directly about. So I am in no way, shape, or form shocked to see that Miss Netherlands is now a trans woman. You know, and it's gonna keep happening, right? This is the road that we're on. Sometimes I hear these stories and I'm just like, okay, again, another one. DJ Khaled, as they say. And, you know, no one does womanhood quite like a biological man, apparently. Now, a lot of people are posting the pictures of all the other women in the pageant and comparing them and talking about who's more beautiful and clearly this isn't a woman and clearly this woman is. I'm not even here to engage in all that. We know much of this is done in the name of virtue signaling, right? They truly don't care about the metrics of which they're meant to be judging these women on. They don't care about actual meritocracy anymore. They don't care about who's most beautiful, who gives the best answer to their question, who has the most shocking talent on the stage. They just care about letting the world know that they are a representation of what is considered to be right in the modern day and age. And right in this modern day and age means that a biological man takes home the crown as Miss Netherland. And, you know, it's not new. It's not new. Taylor, when are you going to be entering in beauty pageants?
Well, funny you should ask, because I'm actually signed up for Miss Tennessee coming up here shortly in the coming months. So,
Are you going to
get on those puberty blockers? And I guess it's too late for that.
Yeah, but, too late for the puberty
cross-sex hormones.
Okay, so you're actually
short amount of time.
You're going to put in a little bit of effort to maybe feminize yourself a little bit. You're not going as is.
I guess you probably don't even have to, right? You can just, you know, I mean, I'm not to throw stones at anyone's appearance, but that wasn't the most convincing female looking person I've ever seen. So maybe you can just get away with throwing on a wig and some makeup, and, you know, why bother with all the other expensive, more difficult stuff?
Yeah, you know, at this point, I mean, I don't, it's sort of unnecessary to ever even get bogged down in who's more beautiful or who can trick you. We're going to get to the point where trans women, after going through medical feminization and, you know, changing their sex, they're going to be indistinguishable for the most part. I think really we're at the point where a lot of trans women are starting to pass. Let's look at this picture of Miss Nevada. And at first glance, it is not the easiest to decipher who is the biological man in this photo. And there's other representations of this that we see all the time. So it's going to come to a point where they're basically indistinguishable from women. And those chromosomes aren't exactly going to be on the applications for these pageants. And I guess that's the future, right? So long as we allow this, and so long as other women allow this too, nothing is going to happen. And we are just literally incentivizing that biological men enter women's faces and take their accolades. So it's no longer in the swimming pool. It's no longer surfing. It's no longer boxing. It's no longer just pageants. It's no longer golf. I could go on. The list could go for days and days and days and days over the different arenas and different facets of womanhood that men are deciding to stake their claim on. And this is the new breaking the glass ceiling, guys.
And yeah, this one seems to go beyond, you know, we talk about like men, biological males taking the achievements of women, but this one is basically going to biological men taking womanhood itself from women, because that's what these pageants are about, is, but you know, the uniquely feminine traits and characteristics of woman and womanhood, with beauty and femininity and all this stuff. And you showcase those, you compete basically for those. And the fact that we're inserting a male into this, and that not only inserting that, but saying that this is the winner, crowning them the winner, is just a very on the nose insertion into ideology and of where our priorities are in with women. We're not concerned with protecting women, and we're not concerned with preserving what womanhood is. We must push forward this ideology at every juncture.
And it's only happening with women, guys. This is not happening in male spaces. And it's partly because I think women go through a particularly turbulent time when it comes to puberty, their own bodies. They're particularly sensitive to, I think, feeling dysphoria and dysmorphia in their bodies. So they're the ones who are more susceptible to trans ideology to begin with, but they're also more susceptible to accepting this reality for themselves and allowing biological men to, you know, stake their claim on, you know, areas of life that used to be only for women. And there's a reason that they're only for women, because we are so compassionate and caring and nurturing. And it appeals to this sort of nurturing sensibility that we all have towards wanting people to feel accepted and wanting people to have their place. We allow things to go too far. And a boundary needs to be set here. And I don't know what that boundary is. I've asked you guys in community polls what you feel like the solution is, particularly when it comes to women's sports. But of course, we can apply that to pageants. Overwhelmingly, you guys answered that trans people should have their own categories. So I imagine in the pageant world, it would be trans women just competing against each other as their own lot in their own competition, and you take that to the furthest extent that it goes, and it's feasible. Maybe somebody should get on that, and people should start talking about this and start doing something about it. But, you know, so long as women continue to compete in these pageants alongside biological men, and they show, at least in their action, that they're okay with this, it's probably going to continue. And I said this wasn't shocking before, because if we look at the owner of Miss Universe, which now Miss Netherland is going to go and compete in the Miss Universe competition, we have opened the playing field for this sort of activity. Here's a clip of the owner of Miss Universe talking about the future of the organization.
It has been 70 years that Miss Universe organization ran by men, but now time is up.
Okay, do I need to point out the irony? Okay, so this is a trans woman who now owns Miss Universe, saying, you know, for decades now, Miss Universe has been owned by men, and now time's up. Hashtag time's up, guys.
Is the moment really for women to take the lead? Welcome to the new era of the global women's empowerment platform. Welcome to the Miss Universe organization. From now on, it's gonna be ran by women, owned by trans women, for all women. For all women really around the world to celebrate the power of feminism. Diverse cultures, social inclusion, gender equality, creativity, the force for good, and of course, the beauty of humanity. When I was born as a trans woman who got bullied and sexually harassed by my own teacher when I was young, plus I was not accepted by society because they did not want to embrace my differences. But guess what? Thank you. I chose not to surrender. I turned pain into power.
What is feminism when this is the reality? What does the word feminism mean when biological men are allowed to be women and take on womanhood? Do they suddenly adopt the oppression of the patriarchy upon their announcement that they've now become women? What do you do as a leftist with the worldview that white men, and particularly white elite men, you know, hold an inherent power and privilege and oppressive force on women in particular? What do you do when those white males start to identify as women? Do they suddenly become oppressed? Do they suddenly share the woes of being a woman in the United States of America? I would just like some clarity on that point. And of course, I'm very sympathetic to a person who is experiencing gender dysphoria and feels an outcast. Within their environment, feels like they don't fit in with other people. And a lot of times that is the driving force for even feeling gender dysphoria, is this idea that you don't fit in, that you're in turbulent times within yourself, and that creates an incongruence with, you know, the mind and the body. So I don't wish that feeling upon anybody, because clearly it takes you down a path of trying to alter your reality and the reality of others in a way that we all know is not really possible. Although we're largely starting to accept it in Miss Universe competitions and, you know, Miss Netherlands and in sports and in locker rooms and bathrooms, we are distorting our reality for the sake of other people because we're scared of the consequences, right? We're scared of being accused of being transphobic. We're scared of being, you know, accused of bigotry and discrimination. But that altering of reality is really the sad part here. Because what I see in this video is, yes, a person that I sympathize with for all the things that they've had to go through, all the bullying that they've endured, all of the feeling of, you know, being exiled from your community. But that didn't lead to them actually accepting themselves in my eyes. It led to them taking the furthest path away from who they actually are, because they could not grow to accept the person that they were born as. They could not grow to accept the body that they were given, and had to go down one of the most extreme paths we know to date, which is changing your sex and gender publicly in front of the world in order to feel more confident as themselves. And I don't understand why that can't be said out loud, why you can't acknowledge that. Because in a way that is directly acknowledging the reality that is gender dysphoria, but saying, you know what, maybe there's another route. And maybe this is not what womanhood looks like. And we should be able to accept that it's not what womanhood looks like and try to find a different avenue for people who are experiencing this sort of pain. But no, we go on to, you know, pedestalize this. We say it's a great thing. We let them, you know, win Miss Netherland at the burden of other biological women who work very hard. You know, the pageant industry gets a bad rep, and we can talk about the qualms that it, you know, represents when it comes to feminism and the objectification of women and all of these different things. But these women work hard. They are constantly, you know, keeping their bodies physically fit. They are working on their personal talents in order to showcase them in front of an audience. They are, you know, brushing up on world politics and current events in order to answer some of the questions that are posed by judges during this time. And they are constantly trying to shape themselves to be a top competitor against other women who are also spending all of their time doing the very same thing. And when you have a biological man who gets to say, I'm a woman, and of course goes through their own hardships and clearly a lot of medical intervention, they just get to hop in, and because of their identity, they get a step up on you. What does that say to women? Does it not, in fact, reinforce the idea of a patriarchy? That men can take your accolades, they can break your glass ceiling, so long as they just say that they're one of you? And the fact that this cannot be said without you being called, what, a TERF or a transphobe, blows my mind to this day, and it will continue to. But this is story, I don't know, 1,000 of a million, because this is the trajectory that we're on. This only continues. This only goes up to, you know, higher peaks. And I guess the next peak is possibly Miss Universe. We'll see.
But it doesn't feel like the end either. It's just like, how much further does this need to go before people, you know, the common sense wins out? And I don't see the end in sight, unfortunately. But, you know, as you're saying, this just, it doesn't help anyone to play these games with reality, with objective reality. When you divorce womanhood from femaleness, with unlike it has been for all of human history, there are consequences. There's collateral damage, and it doesn't help the people whose feelings that we're supposedly trying to help. And it creates a lot of collateral damage by robbing women of their accolades and everything else that we've talked about. But there's just, and it also just destabilizes society, just destabilizes the relationships between men and women, destabilizes young people as they're trying to go about forming their identities and figuring out who they are. Now you've opened the Pandora's box of just confusion around gender, around relationships, around what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. And what are we seeing as a result of that? We're seeing depression rates go through the roof, anxiety, suicide go up through the roof. We're seeing divorce rates increase. And in a large part, that is just due to us playing games with reality. You know, womanhood is a real thing, and it is a sacred thing. It's something that we should know what it is, and we should honor it and revere it as a society and protect it. And instead, we're playing games with it, and we're seeing the disastrous consequences. But just to underscore that point, I came across a tweet the other day. I think I just sent it to you, but it was about breast milk. And a woman posted a picture side by side of breast milk that was from one day and then the following day. And in overnight, the woman's breast milk changed in response to the baby's saliva. It changed colors because it changed, like the formulation or the nutrients or whatever the baby needed was altered in the breast milk for the baby the next day because of the woman's body. That is what I'm talking about when we're talking about the specialness of being a woman and what a unique, sacred thing that it is. And just to see us play these confusion games and to just open this Pandora's box is, it's just a, obviously such a terrible trajectory for society. And you just wonder, how bad does it have to get and how many negative results do we have to see before enough people wake up to just say, no, guys, let's just go back to real life.
Right. That is the major question here. And it's a question we've yet to get an answer on. We did get a $50 super chat that I must read immediately from Jeffrey Jackson, who said, do they really think that no one embodies female beauty better than a human with XY chromosomes? What are the feminist activists? Where are the feminist activists on the issue? Love and respect you, Amala and Taylor. Appreciate you, Jeffrey. And I will say there are a lot of women who are starting to speak up on this and, you know, taking back that phrase TERF, right? Trans exclusionary radical feminist, and saying, you know what, call me a TERF, because I guess that is exactly what I am. They are fighting for what the fundamentals of feminism really were. And it's crazy because women fought so hard to distinguish themselves from men, and constantly the accolades of women and the achievements of women and even the capabilities of women were trivialized by men in a truly misogynistic past, right? That is actually something that women experienced. And now I hop on like Twitter and Instagram and see, you know, trans woman wins Miss Netherlands. And in the comments, it's all these men being like, yeah, boys, let's keep going. Like, what competition are we going to win next? We know we're better than women. You are reinforcing the idea that everything that women do can be trivialized. It's just mind blowing. But here we are, right? As I said before, clown world. Down is up, black is white, good is bad. And speaking of that, let's talk about Ben & Jerry's, right? You guys know my past with Ben & Jerry's, right? When I was working at the left-leaning organization, we put on these events, and Ben & Jerry's, because they are so leftist and they so love, you know, the world and they want to do the right thing, they would sponsor these events and essentially give out free ice cream to students who wanted to become activists and who wanted to be at these different conferences. So we go way back, Ben and Jerry and I. And they tweeted this out on the 4th of July, which we talked about. This 4th of July, it's high time we recognize that the U.S. exists on stolen indigenous land and commit to returning it. Learn more and take action now at BenJerry's.com, right? Because leftists love like beautiful infographics that educate you on an issue that they're doing nothing about. But a tribe by the name of the Abenakis has come forward and actually pointed out that Ben and Jerry's headquarters rests on the stolen land on the western side of what was supposed to be theirs and was the native land of this tribe that is based in Vermont. So they've come forward and said, hey guys, we saw your Twitter post on the 4th of July. We heard that you are committed to giving back stolen land. Can we have back the land that's on your headquarters? And what did they hear? Crickets. Nothing. It was silent. You could hear a pin drop in there, right? Because Ben & Jerry's has not responded, because Ben & Jerry's was not anticipating the fact that, yes, if you are headquartered in the United States of America, chances are somebody lived on the land that you are sitting on before you. And that maybe those natives might still be alive to lay their claim on the land that your business now sits on. So it's been crickets. It's been quiet. Ben & Jerry's has not put out a new hit tweet since this tribe has come forward. And they even got their own little community note on Twitter saying, despite Ben & Jerry's supposed commitment to returning land they feel was stolen, they have yet to reach out to the tribe whose land their headquarters is on and arrange a return of the land to them.
Oh, you love to see it. You love to see it. This is why so much of progressive activism is just a scam. These people don't really believe in what they're saying, and right. We should mock them and just laugh when this stuff happens, because they deserve it. If you don't really believe and stand by what you're saying, I'm reminded of the celebrities who were like, you know, going chanting for defund the police and posting about it on social media during the BLM riots of 2020. While they have private security in their house and you know, giant 10-foot walls, and they're, you know, nice and safe from anything that would hit them. Same thing with the climate activist types who want to ban, you know, steak and gas vehicles, but are busy with their buying, you know, new oceanfront mansions. That's what they're not apparently not worried about. The increase of water on the shores. Or anything like that. So it's just, not to mention flying on their private jets. So it's just such a tired thing. And it's just funny when you see them fall flat on their face like this. It's very delicious.
And you know what? They might come back, and maybe right now they're just working out the logistics on how to give their headquarters away. So I'm going to give them time, right? And maybe they are going to come forward and say, you know what? We'd be more than happy to, at the very least, maybe compensate you guys for the land that we've apparently stolen. And I put stolen in air quotes because, you know, that's not the ideology that I subscribe to, but they've done so publicly. So maybe they're working things out, and there is going to be some form of reparations given to this Abenaki tribe that's come forward to speak to them. And if they do that, you know what? At least they're consistent. And I will come back here and correct the record and say that they've done exactly that, and that they stand by the very virtues that they espouse on the internet. But hasn't happened yet. So
yeah, no one would have been upset if they came out on the 4th of July and were like, you know, in the spirit of reparations to the natives we are offering our headquarter land back to the tribe mm-hmm. that controlled it originally. Everyone would be like, okay, well, you know, at least you're living out your values. Like that's, yeah, I mean, that's kind of maybe unnecessary at this point, and we can debate that. But hey, at least you're like making a statement and you're putting your money where your mouth is. But they literally did the opposite, and they're, you know, definitely paying for it now.
Yeah. So we'll keep you guys posted on that story. Lastly, we're going to get into the drama that's been happening within the celebrity world that has somehow made it into the conservative realm in talking about relationships, and that is between Keke Palmer and her baby daddy, is what they're calling him on the internet, Darius, who is a football player, and Jonah Hill and an ex-girlfriend by the name of Sarah Brady. So let's get into what happened here. And you guys can give me your thoughts on this, because this took the internet by storm for some reason. People had a lot to say, and it caused a major rift between left and right and you know, progressive and conservative about how you go about these issues. We'll start with Keke Palmer. And I'll get into this briefly because I have a video that's going out on my second channel, which you guys can subscribe to. It's called Omri Unfiltered. I don't have the link, but maybe we can throw the link in the chat at some point. You guys can subscribe to that. It's going to come out later this week on this subject. But Keke Palmer went to an Usher concert. And she dressed scantily clad, as they say, and ended up posting a video of some of her time at the Usher concert. Here's one of them. She's very shocked by how Usher looks shirtless. And, you know, this went on the video. It's very much in character for who Keke Palmer normally is on the internet, but her boyfriend slash baby daddy got on the internet and was very upset about this video and other videos that she posted where she was hugging on Usher, dancing next to him, he was serenading her, and quote tweeted it saying, "It's the outfit though, you a mom." Basically saying, why would you wear that out? You're a mother to my child. This is disrespectful. And the internet went crazy on this man, saying, how dare you call her out for what she's wearing? You knew who she was when you got in the relationship with her. You're not the most traditional man. And he responded by saying, we live in a generation where a man of the family doesn't want the wife and mother to his kids to showcase booty cheeks to please others. And he gets told how much of a hater he is. This is my family and my representation. I have standards and morals to what I believe. I rest my case. Now, first and foremost, I just want to say none of this should be dealt with publicly in both of these scenarios. It's kind of insane that the internet is getting in on these debates. But now that it's here, let's talk about it. There is something to be said for a man who does not want his woman dressing like this, dancing on another man, posting videos on the internet of her ogling another man. Not okay, right? And I think any man or woman who's in a scenario like that with their significant other would look at that and go, you know what, maybe we need to reevaluate. The issue is, and what I want to point out, is a little bit of hypocrisy here. Darius has posted pictures of Keke Palmer shaking her butt on the internet, and has done so on numerous occasions, I believe, pointing out how hot his wife is, and you know, how much of a baddie she is, and all of these different things. And you know, he's had his time in doing that with Keke Palmer. He also knew exactly who Keke Palmer was when he got in a relationship with her. And this is not new for her as an individual. This is not new for her brand. So while I get that you should be able to set boundaries and standards within your relationship, you also must acknowledge the person you got into the relationship with. I often find that there are these men who like find Instagram baddies on the internet and slide into the DMs because they have these lingerie pics and they have an OnlyFans or whatever. And that's what initially attracts them to the woman. And then they go, oh, well, I don't want you doing OnlyFans anymore. Or I don't want to see those photos on your Instagram anymore, when that's exactly how he took the bait in the first place. So if you're going to be a man who's asking for this traditional mindset and a traditional presentation from your woman, you might want to pick the woman who is already expressing those values and who already has that intent within her own life. And maybe you also shouldn't be posting pictures of her shaking her ass. It's just a note. And I don't know why nobody's saying that, right? You either get the conservative view of like, oh my gosh, Darius is right, he's calling her out and that's what he should do. Or you get the liberal view of Keke Palmer should be able to shake her ass wherever she wants to shake her ass. Can we sit in the middle? And maybe have a little bit of common sense here.
That's what you're here for, Amla. You got to, you know, decipher everyone's excesses and show them the way in the middle. We just got a $100 super chat here from James Burke. Thank you.
Thank you. It
says, the point is these leftist quote unquote movements have no principle other than to advance leftism. Women are created, but leftists cannot allow an entity to be perceived as higher than them. So they simply quote unquote create them and diminish genuine women in the process.
We might disagree on the entity, but I do agree with your beginning statement of, you know, the left often has no other end than to promote, you know, the things that they're saying. Often they feel like something is good, so they'll say it out loud, and they don't understand that they are indicted in the very statement that they've just made. So it's, you know, it's a difficult thing to come to terms with when you are in fact one of the perpetrators of the crime that you are so arduously talking about on the internet. And Ben and Jerry's is gonna have to figure that out. Which I don't even know if Ben and Jerry are still, you know, the head honchos at Ben and Jerry's. I'm pretty sure they sold to Unilever, I believe. So I don't know how much of a hand they have.
Their website is still full of, like, every statement they've issued in the last few years is full of corporate activism. Their CEO is definitely right. An activist. So they must have, you know, in their acquisition, still preserved their progressive values. They are very forward with that still.
Maybe if they give up their land, that'll boost their ESG score, you know?
No, that's the problem. They're going to have a high ESG score without giving up their land, because it's not about actually living out any of this stuff. It's all about checking the proper boxes and virtue signaling. So
right. Okay, now let's touch briefly on the Jonah Hill situation. Again, none of this should be done publicly, but now that it's public, let's talk about it. Sarah Brady, who is a former girlfriend to Jonah Hill, and that's what makes this super weird. Not even just like talking about this publicly, which is a whole nother thing. She's not even dating him anymore. He's with a new woman. I think they've just welcomed a baby into the world. So this is a little sus to be hopping on the internet. And I doubt that she would be doing this if she had not dated a public figure. I don't think she'd be putting up some text messages of an ex who doesn't have a public following to the tune of millions of people. But I digress. She gets on the internet and starts posting old messages that Jonah Hill sent her while they were dating, specifically ones where he wanted to set boundaries within their relationship in regard to what she posted on the internet and who she hung out with. A little bit of backstory here. Sarah Brady, who is the woman who's bringing this all to light, is a surfer. Jonah Hill found her through going on her Instagram, swiping up on a bikini pic, and sending her a DM talking about how gorgeous she was and that he wanted to meet up with her. So that's the premise of them, you know, getting in contact with each other and starting their relationship. Into the relationship, Jonah Hill sent a message about these things that he wanted her to stop doing. And here's the list. Surfing with men. Doesn't want the surfer to surf with men anymore. Doesn't want boundaryless, inappropriate friendships with men. Which I completely agree with. That's a totally reasonable thing to ask for in a relationship. Doesn't want her to model, which is something that she was doing prior to meeting him and continued to do after their relationship. Doesn't want her to post pics of herself in a bikini or in a bathing suit. Not even a bikini, in a bathing suit. And mind you, this is a surfer, so just keep that in mind. Then doesn't want her to post sexual pictures, completely understandable. And lastly, doesn't want her to have friendships with women who are in unstable places in life, unless she is just going to lunch, coffee, or something respectful. Now, this too took the internet by storm. People were calling Jonah Hill a controlling, misogynistic boyfriend. Then people on the right hopped in and said, no, this is a good man. He's simply setting boundaries and asking for basic respect. Sarah went on to post other photos of their text messages, which she should have never done in the first place, but continued to post them, where he sent her screenshots of her Instagram, where she's wearing a one-piece bathing suit, surfing on the waves, asking her to take down the photos. She apparently obliged in some instances, but he went on to say that this is a matter of respect for him, and that he is, quote, literally the best boyfriend on earth. So, again, I sit in the middle on this one, right? Were there perfectly reasonable asks from Jonah Hill on behalf of his relationship, saying, I don't want sexual posts. I don't want boundaryless relationships with random guys that I don't know. I don't want you posting, you know, sexual things and hanging out with unstable women. These things are reasonable. But maybe to ask the surfer model not to surf and model doesn't make sense. maybe to ask the girl who's constantly on the beach and has made a career out of being an athlete surfing to not post bathing suit pictures is not reasonable. And maybe, much like Darius, you knew the very situation you were getting into when you started dating this woman, for you yourself slid up on the bikini pic on Instagram. And maybe what he's feeling is an acute awareness to how men behave on social media, because it is in fact the very same way that he behaved towards her. He swiped up on a bikini pic of her surfing, which would be innocuous unless you are looking at things in a sexual nature, and said, I want exactly that. But what does a man do when he wants an Instagram baddie, but no longer wants her to be an Instagram baddie after he has her? This is the to be or not to be of 2023. Oh, guys. What would you do in this situation, Taylor?
At what part? Like, if I'm Jonah Hill, am I sending that message in the first place? I'm not sliding in the DMs in the first place. Uh-huh. And then I'm not putting all these rules on the girl. And I mean, again, like you said, why can't we just find the middle ground? There's the reasonable situation in which you enter into a relationship with someone, and I'm going to, out of respect for you, not post all these, you know, needlessly sexual things on Instagram because we're in a relationship and that's weird. And I mean, maybe if you're already the type of person that was doing that anyway, I'm probably not the guy for you and wouldn't have been going after you. But anyways, that's just a simple matter of respect. But by the same token, here's the other side of this that I feel like is not talked about, mm-hmm. or is being missed in this story, is like, I see guys sometimes who are dating girls, really sweet, nice girls, and you can go look at who they're following, because I'm like trying to gauge, okay, is this guy good enough for this girl, whatever. And they're following like all kinds of Insta hoes and baddies and models and all this stuff. And to me, that's just also just disrespectful, bad move, etc. Yeah. So can we just have common sense? And like, if you're going to be in a committed relationship with someone else, then you should respect them enough not to publicly try to attract other people and not to publicly ogle over other people. And let's just start there. And I mean, otherwise, I don't even understand what's going on. I don't know if this is a generational thing or just like a character thing, but I don't know what these people are doing.
Yeah, no, these are just, it's completely incompatible people. And I think this should have been seen right out of the gate in both of these instances, that this should have just never happened. And there's a reason that these two people are exes. This was never going to work. This was not going to work out. And you know what? Jonah Hill can buy all, he will find a woman who does this. Most conservative women and traditional women are like, hell yeah, everything that you asked for in that message, we are, you know, willing to stand by, and that's what we're going to bring to a relationship. But there's clearly a part of him that doesn't want that. If you want to like surf Instagram and find bathing suit photos, and that's how you find your future girlfriends, then maybe you're not in the best position to be finding a traditional woman yourself. And that's the thing. So there's duality to both these situations, and there's points to be made on both ends of the spectrum here.
But again, yeah, as a general rule, if you're having to like impose rules on a partner after entering into a relationship with them, like you wanting them to change who they are after only because they're now in a relationship with you. So in other words, you were okay with it whenever you were in the pursuit of them, but now you want them to change how they live and everything. It's not going to end well.
Yeah. Move on. Move along. Hit the road, Jack. Find the next one. And it seems as though he did exactly that. Which, why is this girl posting this stuff on the internet years later? It's a little psychotic.
Didn't it just come out that he's having a baby or something? And I don't know,
yes!
Is it some spiteful revenge thing?
She posted something on Instagram like, I hope Jonah Hill's baby is a girl. That way he can really like reconcile with whether or not he's a feminist or something like that. Something batshit crazy. Something like really weird that like, as a celebrity, you really got to vet the people that you date, because you never know what's going to go down in the DMs and what's going to be posted publicly. These girls are wild in these days. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, between the Kiki story and the Jonah story, I'm like, you know, two stories deep, more than my limit of celebrity stupid dating drama. But, you know, I digress.
Well, it's perfect. Let's get into Super Jets then. We're done with celebrity stories. Again, right, you guys, I'm going
to
cover this more.
I get why we have to talk about it, because it is a cultural conversation. We chill. We talk about trending topics, you know, and it does raise some interesting things about relationships. So I'm cool with it. It's just kind of like...
Right.
Dying inside listening to this stuff.
Right,
okay. Let's see. Our first super chat today is from Karen Cueva. She says, there is a Miss International Queen for trans women. WTF. Viva El Salvador y Nayib Bukele.
A Miss International Queen?
For trans women. I don't know.
I'm confused.
Does that mean like there's a pageant for trans women? Because
I think Miss Universe, isn't Miss Universe taking place in El Salvador?
Oh, is it?
I think that's what I read. Yeah. So it's going to take, Miss Universe pageant is going to take place later this year in El Salvador. Maybe that's what is being referred to.
Okay. Well, thank you for the super chat, Karen. Aaron J just gives a super chat. No message. Thank you. Must Pavlov Dogs. That's probably my favorite name again. Says, hi, Amala. You mentioned last week that you've been watching Mad Men. How far into it are you?
Oh, my gosh.
The
where am I?
The lawnmower episode from season three is my favorite.
Well, I've already seen all of Mad Men. This is my third pass of the show. So you won't have any spoilers if you put something in the chat. But let me see where I'm actually at on the show. I'm in season three, episode two. And yeah, there's a lot going on. I love the show. It's actually such good writing. There will be just passing lines in that show where I just sit and think about what was just said for like 5 minutes. Some like throwaway lines are actually so profound within that entire Mad Men series.
You're only enjoying that show because of your internalized misogyny.
That's exactly right. I love seeing like just women from whatever in the 1960s just be completely trivialized and degraded.
That's going to be a clip on Media Matters. Sky says, looks like both genders are just trying to become what they think the other is. We clearly need to work on understanding each other, not becoming each other.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that it's definitely happening, at least to some extent. I don't know what the main cause of all of this is, but I imagine it's a mix of just everything. Turning the frogs
Indeed.
Gay.
They're turning the frogs gay. Let's see. Aaron this time sends another super chat, but includes a message. Says, hi, Amala. Your words really resonate me and you're well spoken. I watch every day. Any tips for coming out and voicing your beliefs that go against the narrative? Keep up the great work.
Just got to do it. You just, Shia LaBeouf, just do it.
Nike.
I don't know. Start off light, you know? Just ask some questions here and there. See how the general environment takes it, and just don't be afraid. That's more so than anything. And when you do actually say how you feel, you're gonna feel a weight lifted off yourself regardless of what the response is from the people that you're talking to. So, you know, tread lightly, keep it chill,
but also be unapologetic. Josie F says, as a transsexual woman, trans people need to stay out of the public eye. I just want to live my life and they keep making it difficult.
I've heard that sentiment echoed by many within the transgender, transsexual community, just saying, you know what? Everything was fine when I was choosing to just live my life the way I want to live it. I was going out in public. I had a ton of friends. I was active on social media, and not necessarily for the sake of activism, just as in being an individual who's choosing to live my life that way. And when you do that, guess what? It's hushed tones from most people. Most people are not actively trying to talk about these issues or coming to the forefront to say, I'm anti-trans or I'm anti-this. It's just when the activism is like forced upon you or pushed in your direction that people actually say something about it, at least in my opinion.
Animation Fan Squad says, IDK, just a theory, but AI has become smarter and dumb people will depend too much on AI and therefore AI can uprise.
I did think that for quite some time, right? That it's going to just make us more and more stupid. And I think there is an element of reliance that is now being injected into just modern society. But now I have to think about, there's also immense room for progress. I'll be the first to say, like, AI has made a lot of what we do here a little bit easier as it's getting developed and moving around, and it's given us space to innovate. So I can only imagine what that's going to do for, like, truly innovative, creative minds who are bogged down in, like, tedious day-to-day things.
Yeah, and you could have said, you know, like, GPS is going to destroy our sense of direction, which it has for me.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I'm also able to, you know, to use my headspace for other things than figuring out you know, direction the analog way. So it's a perpetual thing with technology, but it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Alex says, hey there, gang, not going to lie, but another reason why I want to get married soon is because the longer this goes on, the harder it's going to be to tell if I'm actually dating a woman or not.
Maybe. Is that where this goes? Is that the peak of this? I hope
catfishing,
not. I think you'll be able to figure it out.
Well, just hopefully not too late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
It's rough.
Wasn't
there
a study recently that was asked straight men if you would date a passing trans woman? And like 90% of them, 99% of them were like, heck no. I don't know. I'm making that up, but I'm not making up the thing that I saw, but it was a thing.
Yeah. I'll have to look it up. I'll Google it while you're...
But it's just interesting in this affirming day and age when the rubber meets the road. It's kind of like, have you heard of the Lizzo test? It's like people are saying, oh, Lizzo's beautiful or whatever. But if you tell a woman she looks like Lizzo, that she doesn't think that that's a compliment. So anyways, just another case of the virtue signaling not quite matching up.
Yeah, at the end of the day, reality. Rationality is there for most, I think.
Let's see. Alex, again, by the way, Taylor, you got my vote for Miss Tennessee, but why stop there? Go for Miss Universe. You got this in the bag.
Exactly. Why not?
We're going to break all the glass ceilings, guys.
No. And I'll be here to cover it.
Let's see. Bayavi Riviola. That was a hard one. Sorry.
It's a cool name.
Hey, Amala, I'm a photographer in Seattle. I would love to shoot with you for free in Seattle or LA. I sent you an Insta DM, same username as YouTube on here.
I'm so sorry, but even free photography won't make me go to Seattle. not with what I've seen. But hey, yeah, shoot me a DM. If you're in LA, we'll check it out. We'll see.
All right. And it's a girl, so it's probably not, at least we know it's not a creeper.
Right, maybe.
Or maybe they could be.
You never know.
You never know these days. Jay Rankin says, if I did a video about my thoughts on how polarized the USA is, would you guys watch it? I don't feel comfortable expressing my thoughts to public.
Well, you got two ends of the coin there in that message there. You don't feel comfortable or you want people to watch it? Here's the question.
Yeah,
you gotta take the leap, and if you do want to make videos in the public space, you just gotta decide that that's what you want to do and that you're comfortable with that message being out there. And if you're not, I cannot express this enough, don't do it. If you can't handle it, don't do it. Be ready.
Yeah. Maybe a good testing ground. You can check out our Discord. I'm sure there's some folks on there
yes.
who would watch anything that you put together and give you feedback. So
that's a good idea.
That's one idea. Hi Q says, Amala, I sat through lockdown watching these celebrities crying because they weren't getting enough attention. I'm sorry they get no sympathy from me.
During the COVID lockdowns?
I guess
when they were singing Imagine to the camera, to their iPhone cameras? Is that what we're talking about?
Funny.
Yeah, I mean... I can find sympathy or empathy, whichever word, you know, I always forget how those words are meant to be used, but I can find it for virtually anybody if I try hard enough.
Lacey Hodges says, hey, what's y'all's favorite fiction books right now? Also,
right now,
the U.S. is still trying to send my friend back to Mexico, who grew up in America and has her own family here. So pray for her. Shout out to Kobe.
Mm. Wait, shout out to Kobe. Kobe, the friend, or shout out to our Kobe?
Our Kobe. I mean,
well,
I think
thank
so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kobe's been awfully quiet. I don't know. Kobe's new here.
We put a lot on his plate.
We do. He's handling boards. What was I going to say? Fiction books. Right now, I'm reading a book called Happy Places, I think. And it's very girly. If you're like into girly romance, you know, friendship books, that's a book for you.
That's the book I'm going to speak about in my pageant contest, actually.
Yeah. You guys know that I love The Hunger Games, that whole franchise. So I always recommend those books. And they really do, not in the way that they probably intended, shine a light on the times that we're in. Currently, I'm trying to think. The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton is a classic that I recommend. If you haven't read, like, The Secret Garden, that's a classic. Notice these are all, like, children's books. I haven't read, like, fiction books in quite some time. But, yeah, all of those I recommend.
Yeah, I'm not much of a fiction person. I need to give it more of a shot, but I just finished listening through Lord of the Rings. I'm more of an audiobooker too, especially for fiction stuff, but I'm perpetually listening to Lord of the Rings. Basically, I do it like once a year. And I'm almost done with The Hobbit this run through, but that's about as most fiction-y as I get. My wife's a big Stephen King fan. And I recently found out that in one of in interviews, he said that he thought the greatest work of fiction or something like that was actually Lord of the Rings. So now I'm like, oh, heck yeah, I need to listen to give Stephen King a fair shake. So I might dive in there, which, by the way, shameless plug, my wife runs a Bookstagram. It's Ansley, A-N-S-L-E-Y, Books, B-O-O-K-S, on Instagram. And she is a huge book nerd. We have like three shelves and they're overflowing here at the house. Got to get more. So definitely check that out if you're into books.
Oh, one more. The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah. Definitely read that book. I read that. My grandmother recommended that book to me, gave me her copy. I read that. Tears. And it's a World War II fiction, historical fiction. So great, great book.
Do you think women are more interested in fiction as a general rule? Kobe, do you read books? Do you read fiction?
I do read books and fiction occasionally. That's not the number one genre. But I actually just read A Brave New World for the first time.
Okay.
It was never in my curriculum growing up, so I never had to read. I read 1984, but Brave New World was my first go through. So
I've not read Brave New World, but I've heard so much about it that I feel like I've read it. So that's like the thing, especially within this space. You guys know that. I do think women are more inclined to read fiction books than men are. We like a good bit of fantasy in whatever realm of fiction we're reading.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Patricia Weiss says, Amira the Great, one of your listeners, said something really funny in the chat about the Jonah Hill situation. Quote, he went to McDonald's and was sad that he got McDonald's.
Yep. It's true. That's in both of these scenarios, man. You got exactly what you signed up for. And to act shocked that that's what the person that you're now in a relationship with kind of like blows my mind. And to see like the conservative camp be like, these are really great men. And like, this is so wonderful what they're asking for. And that's why, you know, it's women's fault because they just can't, they don't listen to good men anymore. It's like, okay, let's not be too quick in endorsing people who are, you know, we've just grown accustomed to by reading a set of text messages and a tweet. You really don't know who these individuals are. And if they went as far as to be in relationships with these women, something that those women were doing was resonating with them. So it can't be all their fault, can it?
Can it.
But y'all ain't ready for all that. Y'all ain't ready for all that.
Talia says, I detransition after 5 years of female to male teenhood. Content like yours helps me reconcile with the pain I cause myself and others. Thank you.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I would love to hear more about that if you're willing to put that in the comments after the show, because I go through and read them. That's amazing. I'm so glad that this has been a helpful space for you. Taylor and I were just before this show talking about doing a video about detransitioning and highlighting stories of people who are going through that, because I've been seeing so many videos of detransitioners on the internet. So I think we are going to tackle that in its own video at some point. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, we're really glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Alex says, that's what happens when you want an Instagram baddie. Insta baddie equals Insta problems. So that's why I don't chase baddies. Just normal Latinas.
Just normal Latina.
So not the big booty Latinas.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh.
Oh dear.
Wow. No, I mean, it's true. You do get exactly what you pay for. It's like social media profiles are what people are choosing to represent themselves as on the internet. And it's actually a really good way to get a handle on who you could possibly be in a relationship with. Obviously, it's a highlight reel and it's not everything that person is, but it's at least what they want the public to see. And if what they want the public to see is their ass, then maybe you know what you're up for.
The youth pastor in me would say, you know, the type of bait that you put out determines the type of fish that you're going to catch.
There we go. That's a nicer way to put it.
Let's see. Nicodemus 1984 says, "Hello, long live feminism. Soon following their modern fantasy, we will finally be among men to decide on women's rights. What a sad era. Cheers to the team as usual."
Again, yeah. What does women's rights even mean anymore if men are the spokespeople? We'll figure that out.
We'll figure that out. We'll get back to y'all on that.
For another time.
Lacey Hodges again says, "Those books sound good. Taylor needs to try Hunger Games. Also, I meant y'all's Kobe. I've been watching y'all for about 2 to 3 years now."
Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome. OG. That is amazing. Met you before. And we'll meet him again because he'll be back. Yeah. I do recommend, every time I say that I like the Hunger Games or whatever, I get made fun of. Okay. But the series is fantastic. The movie adaptation, it's all right. Okay. They did okay. By no means did they fully bring the book to life, but you should read the books. They are very good. I also read The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, which is like the prequel to the entire Hunger Games trilogy that was recently put out, I believe a couple years ago. Chef's kiss, okay? Don't bully me.
Is it weird? Like, I'm a 32-year-old man. Like, is it weird for me to start reading Hunger Games? That's like teen fiction made for, you know, teenage girls.
Don't let anybody put you in a box, Taylor. Hunger Games is loved by millions.
I don't know.
Of men and women.
So just as a matter of interest too, like, I'd rather read like something more.
See, this is what they all say. They all say it and then they read the book and then they can't put it down and then they have to read it in secret. Okay. This is what happens.
I'll watch the movies if my wife makes me. I'll do that. And I think that's actually our last super chat today.
Oh.
Unless
I think if you refresh.
Oh, yeah, one more from Isabella. Isabella Bust says, "Amala, you should read The Crooked Man by Charles Beaumont, written in 1955. It's a short story about a dystopian homosexual normative society."
Okay. The Crooked Man by, what is it? Beaumont?
By Charles Beaumont.
Charles. I'm going to have to check that out. I'll at least read, what is it called? The description of it on the back of the book. That there's a name for that.
Summary.
The summary.
Plot summary.
Yeah, something like that. I don't want to. Whatever one doesn't have the spoilers in it. Oh, we got another super chat, Taylor.
Yep. Yakarian fan Ashira says, "Hey, I remember your one possible critique to Drickus was that he said he was the real African fighter, but he didn't say real in that clip. He said he'll be the African champ who does it from Africa."
That's so funny because Taylor was like, "Do we want to talk about Drickus du Plessis and Israel Adesanya today on the show?" And I'm like, "No, I'm kind of over it because Israel Adesanya is just doing too much for me. And clearly it's becoming this whole like, let's play up the fight thing," and calls him like an N-word like 20 times. It's still ridiculous. If he did not say real, I take back that piece of criticism from Drickus du Plessis. But I'm still in his corner on this. And I hope he just pummels Israel Adesanya. It might not happen, but that's what I want to see, okay? Mm-hmm. And I will watch that fight. You know, if it's in Vegas, might even go to it. Might even go to watch this. And I saw Dana White was like, "Who cares about the racial animosity? Whatever, it's a fight, it's a fight." And to a certain extent, that's true. Much of these fighters are just going to say whatever they can to, you know, get that pay-per-view money up. And they want to inflame the crowd for these fights. I'm just curious if he would have the same response if it was a white fighter telling a black fighter, you know, some of the things that Israel Adesanya is saying in regard to Drickus du Plessis. I don't know that Dana White could even publicly come forward and be like, "Yeah, it's just a fight. You can say whatever you want to say," if that was the case. Maybe he could, and maybe he would. But I doubt we'll ever see that because you're not really allowed to espouse racial animosity if you are not a person of color. So we shall see.
We shall see. That was such a wild clip. If y'all haven't seen it, I saw it on Twitter. It's like he called the black fighter, Israel, called white fighter Drickus the N-word like 50 times in the span of like 30 seconds.
And yeah.
Just like, what does that even mean when you're
what does it mean when you're calling a white person that? He's also called him a cracker and all this other stuff, which we've covered on the show before, and you guys can check it out if you want in an in-depth video about, you know, the current stuff that's happening right now. I'm gonna have to consult my boyfriend first. He's the actual UFC expert in my household, so yeah, let us know.
Lacey again says, also, I'm 16 and I clean houses and babysit children and animals while I listen to y'all's show. I've got 30,000 saved.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez, Lacey.
Wow. That's amazing. I always like to know what you guys are doing while watching this show.
Oh my goodness. Man, you should listen to some Dave Ramsey and make sure that that money is well protected. Don't just spend it on some fancy record player. That is awesome. That is so cool. That is a great example to young people. They should totally be working and being productive. And, you know, you get to reap the rewards. And I mean, yeah, you could treat yourself a little bit. Don't spend it all on super chats, though.
You never know. You never know what's going to happen while you watch this show, guys.
I worked at Starbucks when I was 16 and saved up, like, I don't know, close to 10 grand, I think, when I was 16, 17, toward the end of high school. And that helped me pay for my, like, I did this internship, which questionable idea afterwards. But anyway, it catapulted me forward on my life's trajectory, and I wouldn't have been able to do it if I wasn't, you know,
wasn't
making
hustling,
money, being productive as a teenager. So
yeah,
I applaud that for sure.
At like 14 or 15, I was working at a traveling pizza company. So that's what I did, which was so fun. We got to travel around to different concerts with like this brick oven and just make pizzas for people. And everybody was amazed because you make the pizzas in like 90 seconds in a wood fired oven. And it was a fun time.
That does sound pretty cool.
It's 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Kobe, what was your first job?
Probably landscaping in the summer heat of Oklahoma. So not as glamorous as traveling around making pizzas, but
I feel like if you ask a man, it's like 50% chance that landscaping was his first job.
Yeah, it's a pretty basic one. It's not that unique.
No, it's good. It's good though. But you know a lot about plants. My boyfriend used to landscape, and whenever we walk around, he just like points out plants, and he knows like the species name of all these plants.
I don't know.
You're not a botanist?
No.
Alex says, hey everyone, let's get the likes up on their video. Can I get an air horn, Taylor?
I love how Alex does our job for us. Thank you, Alex.
The hype man.
We greatly appreciate it. Please do like the
stream.
Do you
know which button is the air horn, Kobe?
Taylor,
it's like on the left side.
All right.
Just click a random
one.
Click a random button. Too.
Yeah, and see what noise comes out. Do you know where the noises come from?
That's such a hot take.
That was a bleeper.
That was a bleeper. Let's try this one.
That's crickets. I forgot we have that. We need to use that.
We do need to use that.
All right, next episode, we're doing a lot of these.
There it is. There's the air horn.
We found it, guys.
We need to update those sounds. I need like, ooh, sound. I don't know what I need it for, but I just know that I need that sound.
It's good.
Yeah, so we'll
I've been debating
on
if we should have some like vibey music playing during Super Chats to kind of, you know,
maybe
keep
we should.
The energy up a little bit.
Maybe. You guys let us know in the chat down below. Should we add some hip-hop beats? Should I get a new track for Super Chats?
Throw it down.
Yeah. You let me know.
Kobe could just beatbox for us.
Heck yeah. Just soft beatboxing in the back.
I'll start practicing.
Guys.
Alex did say, let's get the likes up. And guys, we've had like 2,000 of you watching and only like less than 1,000 likes on the stream when we're done lately. And that's just, you know, just sad. And so if you're here, just throw a like on there. It helps us out.
Makes us profoundly sad when you guys don't like the stream. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. And I think that is our show for today. I thank you so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we post videos for you guys every single day, so don't miss out. You can join the Discord by going to the link in the description down below. Meet a group of like-minded people, some of them on the left, some of them on the right, some of them sitting on the center, but you can talk about anything, food, pets, relationship drama, you name it, it goes down in the Discord. Also, sign up for my email and newsletter. It's the link in the description down below as well. You'll get a little blurb from me every Friday about what's going on in my personal life. If I don't let you know on the show, it'll be something new you can get through your email. Thank you guys so much for watching. We're going to see you tomorrow, and I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Monday. Peace out.